Welcome, folks. This week, we start with something a little bit different. A little bit of behind-the-scenes Curmudgeon's Corner.
Hello.
Good morning, Yvonne.
Hello.
Topic ideas from you.
Shots fired.
Okay, the Arizona shooting. What else you got?
Now they said that Tuesday is finally D-Day for Verizon iPhone.
Ah, yes.
Yep. That's you know.
Okay.
Let's see. What else? I don't know. They did this reading on a constitution thing this week. I don't know what to talk. I mean, they're talking about this whole thing how, which I guess to some extent makes sense. I mean, you know, that they're saying this new House rule that you have to cite what part of the Constitution in order to submit a bill or something. Okay. I don't know if you want to talk about that or if you had an idea about that or
okay.
I don't know.
The whole startup. They did a number of interesting things when they started up. Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
So we could talk about that. Those are, you know, that's three. I mean, I don't know what
okay,
you got there.
So,
but yeah.
So plan. Okay. So the one thing that we both had on our list was Arizona, of course. Let's go ahead and start with that. Okay, and then the things I had that you didn't have. I had a few thoughts on the Garmin iPhone app that came out this week. The Mac App Store, of course, came out this week.
I forgot about that. I wanted to talk about that, yes, because I've already been playing with it.
Yep.
A lot.
Okay, so let's put that one on the list.
Yeah.
Okay. I also this weekend was my and this may not be of general interest, but it's just on my list. This weekend was my big weekend where we finally ditched DirecTV and went back to cable and got a whole bunch of new TiVos and stuff. And we're now fully HD. Mostly fully HD. And I also just for a few seconds, I got one of the things I got for Christmas was that new, not that new anymore, the Apple trackpad thingy.
The trackpad?
Yeah, you know, the little wireless trackpad thingy that goes with the wireless keyboard that, you know. Anyway.
I don't know. Okay. I haven't seen that thing.
Well. Okay, so let's skip that then. Then I had some of the Palin stuff, but that goes with the Arizona stuff.
Touch wireless trackpad.
What?
Okay. I think I may have seen it at the store, but I didn't know what the hell it was. I didn't pay any attention to it. Okay. All right.
Let's see. So let's do the Arizona shooting. The Mac.
Okay, I could torture you on the fact that the day I said about the poll about Obama's polls, now the data actually is showing what I said.
Okay, I'm recording right now. Screw this. I'll put this in the right place. Look. I said
hello, this is Curmudgeon's Corner. How are everybody? So we already started arguing, we couldn't even get to the topics.
I said very clearly that the change you were talking about might happen in the future, but there was no evidence of it already happening, and I stand by that 100%. You know, we also talked about how it made sense that there would be a bump coming up because of various reasons, but I stand by 100% that at the time you said it, there was absolutely not one thing in the data that indicated that might have happened already.
Not one thing.
Okay.
You're deluding yourself.
I'm going to say again that the way that graph shows it in pollster.com lags. And so therefore if you go straight up by the data the way that you were looking at it,
Yvonne, listen, if you interpret it the way you do, then okay, maybe you saw an upward trend this time, but then you're seeing false upward and downward trends constantly, all the fucking time, because you're paying attention to random fluctuations and variations that aren't substantiated by anything. You're looking
I've seen those random fluctuations before, and I can tell the difference between what I see, look at the numbers, and a random fluctuation.
I knew you were
going to
say this, but you are so full of shit. Okay. You are so full of shit. You are cherry-picking the times that the data goes in the direction you like.
Okay.
There is nothing indicating that... It's just you're imagining things and pointing your own like viewpoints on it, because it's like
I did say at the moment that I said it that I would not discount that effect. However, I did believe that despite that, I was right.
Well,
but anyway,
and look,
all right.
And I said I fully anticipate that it will go up. But it just had not yet. There was absolutely no evidence to support your opinion at that point that something had already happened. Now, something may have happened since then. I haven't even looked at the graphs, to be honest. But and even if there is something that looks like it was an upward spin in the last week, a week isn't long enough to verify a trend anyway. You need to have a you know, I've dealt with
it's a couple of weeks.
But, yeah, but I've dealt with this kind of thing in data in all kinds of areas, for personal things, for work reasons, for all kinds of things. And one of the keys is you have to be very vigilant against protecting against the human tendency to see patterns where there don't exist, because the human mind does everything it possibly can to find patterns, and you look at week over week changes in some things where week over week is 100% all of the time always noise, and you have to look at patterns over 5-6 weeks to even make any sense of it, and that's the kind of thing with the polls.
That's your mathematician talking to you, but you see, I am a guy who is a finance guy, and in finance, what we are taught to try to look at the information.
You're taught to
somehow
chase ghosts. It's the same thing as the goddamn people with the technical
stock charts
throwing a ruler up against the page.
A lot of the times when you're looking at financial information, okay, you have to filter between noise. You have to filter what's a trend. And in finance, you have to make a lot of decisions. Sometimes we don't have full information, but you have to make the difference between what is, say, a seasonal trend and what is a real change in the data, okay? And you know what? Many times it's a judgment call. You look at the numbers and you figure out, that's not a seasonal change. That's actually a change in the data. Now, I will say this. Is it scientific? No. Did I do it scientifically? No. However, you know, it's just my judgment. Like, you know, what I've seen, you know, when I look at financials and like I go and I look at the numbers and I go and I detect trends and things in it that I feel show that there's a change. Some people say, well, there isn't a complete set of data that support that. That's what the accountants come back and tell me. And I'm like, fuck you.
Look,
have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. You're right. Let's just wait 6 weeks and then we'll figure out that yes, it is a change.
But wait,
it is a change.
We're talking.
Oh,
no, whatever. Wait, stop. You're talking, first of all, you're talking about several different things. One, you're talking about sort of predicting the future, which is different from analyzing what has already happened and saying
that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that sometimes you notice in the numbers changes that happen, that change itself is not the random noise that you usually see.
Of course,
it is an actual change in the behavior.
Of course, Yvonne, but here's the thing. whenever people have gone back and analyzed people who have those kinds of hunches, like you are talking about right now, what you are talking about is looking at hunches.
You are talking about
pulling out patterns that your mind views there that can't be substantiated by anything real. And you know what? When people have gone back and looked at people who say what you're saying right now, they've found that the results are no better than freaking chance in terms of whether or not they were right or not. Now, maybe you particularly are a miracle worker and you get it right more than you get it wrong. But if you do, it is not because you are better at looking at the evidence that already exists of those poll numbers. It is because you are better at intuiting the general climate that surrounds it and what things are going to develop in the future, which is different than looking at what the numbers actually say.
Okay, that you may be correct, okay? Because I will admit, because I'm like using, it's true. You see, because I don't, you know, when I'm looking at a financial chart, I'm not just looking at the financial chart. I usually will also, you know, pick up other information that isn't just data and the numbers. And so, therefore, I will see that there's a change in the news climate or a change, say, in the economy, and I will see something in the numbers, and I will associate both, not just look at the numbers. So, yes, I think that may be the reason why. Okay, I'm factoring in more facts than just what's in the numbers.
So
I know, for example, here, and maybe why to differentiate is, for example, if I see a no, you know, if I'm looking at a financial statement and I see the summer and nothing happened whatsoever, but all of a sudden you see changes in the numbers and finances, whatever, they'll usually discount and say, you know what, that's just random variations, whatever. But when all of a sudden there are certain events happening and you see certain changes, and I'm like, whoa, wait a second. You know, usually that doesn't happen as a seasonal variation that way. That's actually a change because of what of all these facts. And then you look at the facts and you say, well, this event happened, this event happened, this event happened, boom, boom, boom. And you look at the data and say, the last 3 years, this didn't happen. So, okay, all right, so I'll give you that. Okay, all right,
so
fair enough.
I think that's a key point. It's like, are you looking at a trend in the data or are you looking at general events that are going on using
stuff
to predict what will happen in the future? So I will stand by that what the polls that you were looking at showed no changes in the Obama approval rating in the time period prior to our last podcast, but that is entirely different from predicting what will happen in the next few weeks based on everything else you know, including those poll numbers. Now, I'll have one last thing to say before we move on to this topic, is I'm looking at those poll numbers again. And yes, if you look at the national job approval, Barack Obama approval and disapproval numbers, and you look at pollster.com, and I changed the date range to just be looking at October 1st through the present. There is a very, very slight upward tick on the approval rating and very, very slight downward tick on the disapproval rating, but there's still not enough there to show a meaningful actual change. I mean, we've gone from like it's like right now it's like approve 45.9, disapprove 49.7, and it looks like, you know, 3 months ago both of those numbers were within 1% of where they are now. I mean,
I'm looking at 40. I'm looking at 49.4 and 46.2.
Oh, I switched the smoothing to more sensitive to look at any. If you do the default, you're right, 49.44. But if you go back and look at where it was at the beginning of October, yes, the disapproval rating is slightly down from where it was. The approval rating is slightly up from where it was, but you're plus or minus 1% or two. It's not a big change yet, but there is some change when you look at that time scale. Anyway,
okay.
Welcome to Quentin's Corner.
Hi, how are all of you?
It is Sunday, January 9th, 2010. I'm Sam Minter, and my arguing partner here was Yvonne Bo.
Well, as you can tell, Sam is very passionate about numbers, which he has always been since I've known him, and numbers and mathematics and anything related to any of that, which is data analysis whatsoever. So, yes, you know, you can't get the guy, you know. If there's a way to get to Sam excited, it's to talk about numbers. Raw data.
Yes. So, anyway,
Let's take a break.
Let's take a break. Absolutely. We'll
be back after this. Just as a preview, we're going to be talking about the shooting in Arizona, of course. We're going to talk about the launch of the Mac App Store. And I think after that, we may briefly mention the Verizon iPhone, but since it'll probably be out by the time we release this, maybe not too much. And a little bit about... how the Republican House started up, some of their hijinks, and if we have time, maybe some technology stuff that I've done in my house lately. Anyway, let's take a break. We will be back after this. Enjoy your break. Bye-bye.
Break.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, we are back. We're recording this on Sunday. On Saturday, January 8th, we had a little incident happen in Arizona. Basically, somebody came to a place where they were having sort of one of these congressional meet the people kind of events. A congresswoman was at a grocery store having a little event, meeting with her constituents, and somebody came in and shot up the place. Killed 6 people, I guess, at last count, injured like 12 more, including the congressman who's has a critical gunshot injury to the head. There were reports that she died and then she didn't die, and then there were reports that she'd woken up. But the latest I heard this morning was that while she is alive and out of surgery, she has not regained consciousness.
Well, actually, a breaking news right now is the doctors say Rep. Right Giffords is able to communicate with simple commands.
Okay. So, changes by the minute. An hour ago I saw breaking news that said, oops, those reports from last night were false. But, you know, it's a rapidly changing story. I mean, I saw, you know, the CNN news alerts on whether or not this woman was alive went back and forth several times last night.
Yeah, I know.
But in any case, some of the controversy around this. So, first of all, you know, crazy guy goes up and shoots up the place, you know, obviously... You know, tragic situation. Lots of people dead. You know, including I guess there was a 9-year-old girl who was there, who was killed. There was a judge, and then some of the staff, I guess, of the congressperson. And then there's some people are making hay out of this based on a poster or website or something that Sarah Palin had put out targeting 20. Congresspeople that they wanted to get out of office, and the graphic that was used to depict that was a map with crosshairs on the various districts, and people are saying, well, you know, you use violent rhetoric, it comes back to haunt you. Those images have been, I guess, pulled from Sarah Palin's websites. I don't know how fair that is. Some people are trumping it almost as if, you know, this is Sarah Palin's fault. I certainly wouldn't go that far. At the same time, yes, when you use violent rhetoric, there's the chance that somebody will do something. Who knows whether this guy actually looked at the poster and decided, hey, I'm going to shoot the person. Probably not, actually. But, whenever you use violent rhetoric, there's a chance that somebody's going to do something violent. And
appear. I mean, you know, the guy, you know, they described him as mentally unstable. I mean, he apparently got kicked out of his, if it's at a college or a community college. locally, and they found a number of YouTube videos and other things, you know, in, you know, he mentioned yet, for example, I'm quoting this from an article in the Wall Street Journal where they covered this. In yet another video, he writes, current government officials are in power for their currency, but I'm informing you of for your new currency. He adds this, his hope is for viewers to be literate. I don't control your English grammar structure, but you control your English grammar structure. He said something about that the government was trying to mind control people by controlling English grammar.
Oh yeah,
structure.
Here's the winner.
And something about what the heck else? You don't have to accept the Federalist laws. Nonetheless, read the United States of America's Constitution to apprehend all of the current treasonous laws. What the fuck is Jesus? Yeah, well, the guy's not very bright. The government is implying mind control and brainwash on the people. Jesus, he's a complete moron. The government is implying mind control and brainwash on the people by controlling
grammar. Meaning applying, probably, yes.
Yes, but you know, if you're not very bright, then you know that's what you kind of come up with. He did try to enlist in the army, but was rejected. Okay, that's one thing that I had here. If there is no flag in the Constitution, then the flag in the film is unknown. Burn your flag, he exhorts. Bam.
Anyway, whack job.
I mean, very incoherent.
One of the other things that's been back and forth is the police are apparently looking for another guy too. So I don't know whether it's just a witness or whether they think somebody else is involved or what. But
correct. My thing is that I've said this before. You know, when people start, I mean, there were many people that were quite aggressive and even like to the point of violent when, you know, protesting a lot of the things that were voted on the last year and a half. I mean, violent in the sense of like it seemed like if you heard the rhetoric, it was almost like it was rhetoric that almost incited violence. You take a mentally unstable moron like this, listens to kind of this crap, then goes off and shoots somebody. And then people are surprised. I'm just like, look, this kind of when people continuously watch a news cycle of this kind of stuff and just listening to this shit, and people that are, and there's a lot of people out there that are very easily convinced of anything that's on the TV and news, they'll fucking believe it. They'll go out and they'll do something insane. So, I don't know.
I don't know that there's a huge amount more to say about it. I mean, I think in the end, whatever connections there were to, you know, if any, to, you know,
if any
things like stuff Sarah Palin posted on her site. I mean, the bottom line is, if you've got somebody unstable like this, you know, they're going to key off of something. You know,
yeah.
If Sarah Palin hadn't put that gunshot like graphic on her page, you know, somebody like this is gonna be potentially set off by anything. I don't see there are people coming really down on that graphic. And do I think that graphic was wise? No. We may have even talked about it when it came out. It's been out for a long time. I don't think it's a wise way to do rhetoric. I don't think it's like incredibly prudent or showing of good judgment. But on the other hand, I think, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I would never say she shouldn't be able to do it. You know, and I also wouldn't be, you know, if somebody goes off and does something crazy like this, I'm not going to say, well, it's Sarah Palin's fault. No, it's not. It's the guy who freaking did it's fault. You know?
But you know, my point is that I guess, I mean, even though, of course, I'm, you know, you can't attribute it directly to them, my point is that people need to calm down this kind of rhetoric because it's just ridiculous.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't help.
I don't think it certainly is not the kind of rhetoric that we would want to promote, you know, in general. I mean, as I think
House Speaker Bonnier actually in his statement included something that basically said, look, you know, this kind of violent act has no place in American society, you know. And and I think that's the bottom line. I mean, you can't say it more simply. There are lots of places in the world where it's still considered a normal part of, you know, political life that if people don't get what they want, they'll take up violence in order to promote their desires. And it's a sort of a fundamental principle of, you know, not just American, but Western democracy and perhaps even further afield than that. That, you know, there is a political process that exists and you work within that process. And that means very often accepting things you don't like. And there's the idea that there is a higher good of the process itself being one of integrity and one that, you know, you believe in that is higher than any particular short-term political goals you may have. And so when you know, the guy you don't like gets elected or somebody enacts a policy that you think is wrong or even evil, you know, rather than say, okay, well, we're going to shoot him, you say, okay, well, we'll work harder at the next election and try to convince other people that we're right so that next time around we'll win.
Otherwise, we could turn this into Russia and we could just jail anybody you want. And then, you know, you go and, like, even when their sentence runs out, you go and, like, you convict them of something else you make up and just keep them in jail for the rest of their lives. Which is what happened to Khodorkovsky. I don't know. This is one of the things that happened the last couple of weeks as well. So anyway.
Yeah. And yeah, I won't even get into right now, you know, disturbing trends of being less free than I thought we once were. But, you know, anyway, we've done another segment. Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk about some Apple stuff. We'll throw all the Apple stuff together into one segment. Yep. Here's another break. Oh, this break will be your poem of the week. So we'll be right back after this.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by No-Tell Motel.
Hudson River by Tomiko Beyer. If we take the train and the river widens to our left, winter black, white curled caps, the palisade cliff face and bare trees and bone wind. If we pass the bridge, the fort, plumes from the plant. If the water travels north with us. If at the same time it runs south for 50 miles mixed like this, salt pushing up, snow melt pushing down to the harbor to bed the ocean tide. If we hike the mountain, if we stop for the view, storybook etched, the five-street town, the country road, and the train's trail along the riverbank. When we exhale, the water in our lungs transforms, singular breath, wood smoke. Then, in such field quiet, we understand our alliance to that bay down south, crowded with ghost ships and torch, elbowed skyscrapers, underground velocity, to our own chaotic bodies that have followed us north, tenacious as salt's press.
For more like this, go to notellmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, hope you enjoyed your poem. We're back. So a few Apple things that we're going to touch on here. The Mac App Store launched this last week. There, like we mentioned, there are rumors that it looks almost confirmed at this point that the Verizon iPhone will be coming out in the next few days. I also wanted to briefly mention the Garmin iPhone app came out this week. But let's start with the Mac App Store. It came out. I downloaded it. I've installed a couple of apps. Yvonne, I gather you did too.
Having a lot of fun with it, to be honest with you.
For anyone not keeping up, this is basically the same thing as the app stores on the iPhone, and where, you know, you can just go in and you look at a whole bunch of apps and a whole bunch of categories, and if you find one you want, you click one button, you know, your credit card is charged or whatever that you have attached to your account. If it's not free, of course, there are lots of free things too. And then the sucker downloads and it is installed. Boom. And you don't have to do anything more complicated than that. It shows up.
So, Yvonne, you've been playing a lot. I'll be honest. I've only downloaded two things so far.
I downloaded about. I'll tell you how many. I downloaded. There we go. Purchases. I'll go in. I think it's about six or seven.
Okay.
I'll tell you what I did. I downloaded a couple of games. Okay. Mm-hmm. I actually picked up one thing. I had been. Actually, this is something that I had that happened this week, and I had not brought up about Apple. Apple somehow, quietly, in September when they launched iTunes 10, eliminated your ability to, on your Mac, purchase ringtones for your iPhone.
I remember reading about that, yep.
But nobody made much of a brouhaha about it.
Well, you know, because I think very few people used it. I mean, that's the bottom line.
With so many people, I guess, because, well, so many people, you know, you hear, like, so many people with damn ringtones that, you know, it was gone. Well, this is
I'll tell you,
try to buy a ringtone.
Wait, let me tell you just a second. You know, one of the reasons is it's so freaking easy to do it without it. I mean, maybe not as easy. Because it did require some technical skill, but like I've got two ringtones that are custom made on my phone that I use for people that I've. But you know, I made them in GarageBand. I pulled the song in from iTunes into GarageBand, clipped the part
okay,
I want.
By the way, I tried to make a ringtone in GarageBand, and maybe I don't have that. What version of GarageBand do you have?
Not the newest one. The one before that. I had
iLife 07. Okay. And so it was on there. No, there was no easy way
and
to make
a there are a bunch
ringtone,
of third-party
okay?
utilities, too, that basically the key to all these third-party utilities is they're freaking free. You take any song you own, you can make the ringtone.
No. I agree. So what happened is that, okay, well, I didn't know about this, and I, you know, remembered the ability in there, and my wife tried to buy a ringtone, and when she downloaded it, you know, this is the one thing that happened. She went into the iTunes music store on her phone, and there's a place where you get ringtones and there's a place where you get songs. She got a song, and it wasn't a ringtone. And so then, like, she was like, damn it, I can't get it on there. So I tried to convert it, and I'm like, I remembered, oh, you know, iTunes had this thing to convert the song into a ringtone. So I'm going around. I can't find it, okay? I'm going nuts. I'm like, what the fuck? So anyway, I did download a little application that costs like a buck or two that allows me to create ringtones. Okay.
Did you do that in the Apple Store?
In the App Store. Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So I did that. I downloaded the new iPhoto. Okay, which I didn't have.
That's one of the ones I've downloaded. Yep.
And I downloaded two applications that actually helped me clean up my contacts. Okay. I have on my contacts.
I looked at one of those, but I didn't download it. How'd it go?
Very well, as a matter of fact. It really helped me combine a whole bunch of contacts that I had as duplicates or whatever. I have about 281 contacts on my address book, okay? And this is a combination of contacts, business contacts, email addresses.
My address book has 5,798 contacts in it at the moment.
Why that many? Well, because, okay, here's the thing. Okay, let me explain something.
First of all, it has lots and lots of duplicates because I do have that problem.
Second,
it's like anybody I have emailed or communicated in any way in the last decade.
Okay, that's the one thing. Okay, my contacts are actually, for the most part, all these people that I, you know, have done business with, okay? Or, you know, at least in the last two or three years, okay? For the most part, there is nobody in here. I'm looking through this list that, you know, is somebody that I haven't done business with in the last two or three years, okay?
Right.
So I clean them up on a regular basis. The one thing that I had was that I had a lot of duplicates, okay? Mm. And I had one where the email address was in one contact and the telephone information was another, and there was an email, there was a this, there was a business phone, another one, and it created three contact cards, and it was a pain in my ass. The application did a very good job of going and searching through all of those, cleaning all those up, and combining them, okay?
So which application did you use? I'm going to download it right now as a demonstration.
It is called Contacts Cleaner, okay? So
I think that may be the one I looked at. Okay, so folks, right now I just hit the search button for Contacts Cleaner,
it come up. It's got a nice little yellow icon with an at sign on it and some soap bubbles or something. Yep. I click into it. Yep. I get details. Lots of there are 15 reviews. Average review is 4 stars out of 5. A bunch of people talking about it. There's a buy button. This thing costs $5. I hit the $5 button, and it asked me for my Apple ID password to make sure I'm really authorizing paying $5 right now. And so I type that in. I hit the button. It's thinking. And something's happening.
Voila.
No, it's not happening yet. Hold on. Did I get a new password? Okay. Oh, no, it's still thinking. Here we go. Little icon goes off from the page into my dock. It's loading. There's a little progress bar. When it's done, it'll be there. It's halfway done already. And now the suspense builds. Anyway, it'll be done in a second or two.
Now, here is something somebody mentioned that was interesting about those. Usually, to install an app on a Mac, it asks you for your password.
Yeah, your admin password.
Your admin password. If you're coming into something from the app store, it doesn't.
Right. Well, presumably...
Which I thought...
And actually, I don't know. Let's see. Is it... we'll see where it puts this stuff. Like, is it installing the app for everybody or just for your user? No, it's installing it for everybody. So I don't know. Interesting. But you know,
that was something that some people mentioned. But anyway,
yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, well, and also there have been some security issues found with this. Like, there's a code signing thing that Apple recommends if you have a paid app that you basically check the receipt to make sure that the user in question has actually purchased your product and matches all that up. They made that a recommendation, not a requirement. And apparently a lot of the paid app people in here do not check that the way they're supposed to. And so what that means is that if one person buys the app, they can copy it and give it to all of their friends and it works just fine.
Okay. Well, hey, but that's the developer's choice.
They choose
not to do it. Yeah, I mean, you know, exactly. That's how you want to do it. It is what it is, you know? I mean, not going to put a, you know, they gave them the ability to do so, but if they choose not to do so, well, you know.
Yeah, and so, like, for instance, the most high-profile example so far, I gather, is Angry Birds. Does not do that check.
No shit, really? Okay, cool.
and supposedly even...
I have played a lot of Angry Birds, okay, all right, so therefore I'm not going to, you know.
Well, and also, even if you do it correctly, like, these are all sort of just like songs on your computer that you buy in iTunes. The default protection is that you can run it on 5 computers.
Okay,
that's not bad. You know, so like, you know, I just bought iPhoto here. You know, the other people in my family here don't have to also buy iPhoto. I can just copy it onto their computers. It should work just fine. So that anyway, you know, interesting stuff. I'll try out this contact cleaner later. But there are a few apps. Pixelmator is one example who have declared that they're going App Store only. So they're shutting down their other distribution channels and are going only in the App Store. And I think you may see more of that going forward, and certainly like people essentially not bothering because, you know, they're going to get most of their revenue here anyway, and other stuff isn't worth the time and effort.
I'll tell you something I realized. I realized that after I go on here, that the reason I hadn't bought apps for my Mac over the last couple of years wasn't so much because I didn't want one or new apps. It was because it just wasn't convenient.
Right.
I mean, that's it. I mean, you know, I go in and all of a sudden I look at all these apps and I'm like, oh, that could be cool. Oh, well, oh, I could use that. Oh, yeah, I could add that to the computer. I'm like, and I realize that, you know, shit, I wasn't getting as much productivity out of my laptop as I could simply just because there wasn't a real easy way to get the stuff.
You know, I'll add one more piece of the conversation that's been going on, and then we can move on to other stuff. But people have made note that the developers who are in there for launch appear to be
trying to defend somewhat against the price declines that have happened on the iPhone App Store, where, like, you know, 99 cents is the going rate for a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, if you see an app over $5, you're like, oh my God, that's an expensive app. Here, if you look through this, you know, the app I just got because you recommended it, the contact cleaner thing, is $5. And there are a few $3 apps, but there are lots of apps that are $5, $10.
Not $9.99, $7.99.
You know,
$39.99.
Yeah, yep. There are apps over $50. You know, and there certainly are a few of those on the iPhone, but they're comparatively very rare. Now, one of the things, though, I think is going to happen is that, try as they might, they're going to have some price pressure on here too, because what's going to happen?
Sure.
The fundamental structure that the App Store allows that did not exist before is the small developer can come in, make something similar that undercuts your price, and, like, you know, if you're a big company who has a team of 10 developers or more working on some product, you know, you need to. How you're going to want to price it at $5, $10 and make a lot of money back to pay your costs. But some guy is going to come back who's building something in his spare time, who does an app that's good and useful, and he's going to say, well, you know, 99 cents sounds good to me. And all of a sudden, you're going to see more of those, and you're going to get that downward pressure over time, you know? And we'll see. It'll be very interesting to see whether, you know, if you look at the Mac App Store in 6 months or a year, whether you still see, you know, a bunch of these, whether you see, like, I'm looking at the top 12 paid apps or whatever, and there's only one 99-cent app, or two 99-cent apps, and most of them are over $10. You know, I'm not sure that's going to be the case in 6 months or a year.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Okay. So that's the App Store.
That's the App Store.
We also we could talk for a second about maybe at the time that you're listening to this, it already happened. It probably has.
Yeah.
But Verizon iPhone.
I think we should save most of the discussion for next week, but bottom line is, looks like it's going to happen. So by the time you're listening to this, you'll know if it did or if we're full of shit. But, you know,
would you consider switching to Verizon? Here's my question.
Here's the thing. If the phones were otherwise equivalent, and the rumor is they will be, although I want to know how they figure out that doing data and phone call at the same time thing, because I do that all the freaking time. And
so do I.
And generally, Verizon's network isn't set up to do that. So if they've solved that, it becomes a possibility. If they haven't solved that, it's a no starter for me. Changing carriers, if it was easy like it is at other places, I would consider it. I've never had the problems with AT&T that other people have. So even if it was a zero friction event, I probably wouldn't do it right away. But given the fact that their contracts and, we just bought iPhone 4s for the whole family, like, in the last few months. So we've got new 2-year contracts and whatever. So there'd be like a, you know, whatever the early termination fee is would be insane. You know, so there's no way we'll think about it in the short term. If we were at the end of our contracts, maybe. You know, we'd take a look at the pros and cons and, you know, move if it made sense. I mean, you know, since you can take your numbers with you and all that kind of stuff now, there's no reason not to if you're not locked in by a contract and the other service is better. Now, like I said, I haven't had problems with AT&T, so I don't know if Verizon's actually better for me right in my particular use case. I don't know.
And I haven't either. So I'm really, like, right now, like, not really considering that seriously. I'm sure that other people with different situations are probably looking at that more closely. So,
All right, so let me see. So we covered the App Store, we covered the iPhone. Anything else Apple related that we forget? Technology or something?
Yeah, I'll do that Garmin thing really quick after the break, tied with the other my other random technology issue. Well, I don't know. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Ready for the test, Dracula? I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, we're back. Here's my couple minutes thing on the Garmin iPhone app. Garmin, of course, is a maker of GPS units. They have been absent from the iPhone world because they spent the last 2 years completely wasting their time and money trying to make like a Garmin phone. Complete disaster. Why anybody would want that, I don't know. In general, they've been the best ones making standalone units, but you know, they may not have noticed, but the world has passed them by. The need for a standalone unit is much less than it was. You know, I talked about this once before in a show a few months ago, but you know, for years, yeah, like when I moved to when I moved to Washington State, one of the casualties of the move was my old Garmin navigation unit, which got packed away somewhere and I never saw it again. And ever since then, I've been, you know, sort of, what are the justifications for getting a new one? And I have always wanted sort of the high-end ones with all the features and blah, blah, blah. So then you're talking about, you know, a few hundred dollars that you're spitting out. And I used it all the time. So, like, you know, it potentially justifiable. But, you know, then, you know, you started getting navigation apps on your phone. And
right.
And the prices of those were much lower to begin with. And then you get at the bottom, there's one I used for a long time is MotionX Drive, which there's essentially it's $3 a month. Essentially, and only pay on months you use it. So there's no like ongoing subscription. It's just if it's been more than a month since you paid and you try to navigate, it'll ask you to renew. And also more recently, I've been using something called Waze, which is absolutely 100% free. It's crowdsourced navigation, so the maps, instead of coming from some expensive database, are generated by the users themselves, which means it's got a lot more inaccuracies. But they make it into a little,
yes.
But they make it into a little game that makes it fun. So, like, if you go on a road, if you go,
okay, I don't want getting to a place to become a game.
Well, listen, it's kind of fun. So you if you go on a road that not that many other people have gone on recently, so it can update its information about that road, it's like a little Pac-Man eating dots, and you get points for it. And then they put little prizes on the roads in various places that if you drive over, you get more points. You know,
okay, and then you can
compete
like
against
that would
people
be fun as a game. Okay, but not. Really, for me to try to make it to an appointment that I've got with a client loud, and me to go and figuring out that the moron on crack who gave me the map from before mapped me like 1,000 miles away from where I was supposed to be or something.
Here's the thing. I've never had it actually send me to the wrong place, you know, in navigating to somewhere. And I'm in a major metropolitan area. I gather if you're out in the middle of bumfuck, that might not be the case. But you know, here in the greater Seattle metropolitan area, I've never had it send me someplace bad. But anyway, the point is, race to the bottom on the prices for these things. Even the sort of high-end apps on the iPhone where you download all the maps and has the whole country built in instead of pulling them over network, we're talking $50-$60 as compared to hundreds of dollars for
these units. Well, actually, there's been a race to the bottom on the physical units too. They're now a bunch under $100 there too. But the premium units are still several hundred dollars. But you know, I looked at this for this Christmas actually, and you know, Brandy was thinking about getting me one because I've been whining about not having one for years. And yeah, I looked at it. And I'm like, look, I just can't justify it. There is no way. Like, yeah, it's a neat toy, but like 99.9% of what I need, I get in this app that costs $3 a month. You know, and you know, there are some annoyances where a standalone device would be cooler. There are some things the standalone device does that would be that are better and more capable and blah blah blah. But is it worth, you know, several hundred dollars? No. The difference is
well, the one thing is that what I said, and I don't know, I tried to do something about this, but haven't figured out a way to do this, is that if you could have an external screen, you know, that is bigger, okay, to be able to follow the you know, to be able to, when you're driving, to look at, that would certainly be better. I find that, you know, I've tried to do some navigation with the iPhone whenever I've been, like, in my wife's car that doesn't have built-in navigation because
it's
my car
is too small for you.
My car does. I mean, it's kind of tough sometimes to be able to, you know, to pull up the screen and try to be following it, a small screen that is not mounted, at eye level. And like,
as soon as I got a nav app, like 10 seconds later, I ordered a mount.
But I find a screen to even if I've been able to put it.
It's just too
damn small.
I don't have this option, but you certainly do. Just use your iPad instead.
Okay, you know, I could
okay,
could do that. Yes.
Let me move on to my main point. Garmin finally released an iPhone app. And I was going to post about this, but of course I never got around to it, so I'm ranting on the podcast instead. $40. I saw it and I was like, finally, I've been wanting like the actual Garmin experience forever. I'm going to try this. I bought it like within 5 minutes of hearing that they'd made the announcement. It's the most expensive iPhone app I've ever purchased. It sucks. It is awful.
It sucks?
It is awful.
Why?
I think most of it, honestly, is they rushed out the release to try to match to be at CES. Because, you know, it everything there looks like if it actually worked properly, it would be wonderful. But it's full of freaking bugs. And it, like,
oh, boy.
You know, like, I when I first started trying to navigate from my home to work, the first day I'm leaving from home to work, it's like, cannot route. No route available. No route available.
Oh, gosh.
You know, I'm like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then, like, so I started driving and kept trying, like, every couple minutes. And once I was on the road, like, a mile or two, it suddenly figured it out and gave me a route. But then, like, you know how all of these things let you play your music in the background and do this? So it had a thing where, you know, every time the voice comes on, it lowers the volume of your music so it can talk. And all of the apps do this. But all of the other apps do something that's kind of important in that, which is after the thing stops talking, it turns the volume back on.
On. Right. And it doesn't do it.
Basically, really every time it talks, the volume goes down further on your music until you can't freaking hear it anymore.
That's fucking brilliant.
And the voice itself is sort of is not all that good a voice. It's sort of a little garbled. Like, all the others do this better. You know, and that's probably the biggest annoyance by far right there. At least once it took me on a route that was really fucking weird, which, you know, Garmin is like the best at this. So what the hell are they doing? You know, and then a couple other things, like missing things, like, you know, you can't save your current location as a favorite. You can save your current location as home, but like, you can save addresses you searched for as a favorite, but as far as I could tell, and maybe it's just non-intuitive and it's not in a good place, but like, you know, I went to work and then I'm like, okay, I want to save this as work because I'll probably come back here again, I hope. And I couldn't find a way to do it other than type in the damn address of the place and save that. You know, and you also can't enter a location with latitude and longitude, but I understand that's a geek feature. Anyway, all of this seems
I will tell you that, I personally, you know, on my boat, on my couple of my boats had Garmin navigation because I tried actually other brands and whatever. And it was actually, I will tell you that even like compared the last little Garmin device that I had for my boat, which is a very a small unit that was actually portable, you could take to your car, you could take to wherever. Shit, it's better than almost any other navigation that I've used. So I'm a little bit like, you know, surprised that they're iPhone.
I was shocked. I mean, look, because the thing is, like, you expected them. They were late entering the market. So you expect if they took 2 freaking years after everybody else to jump into this.
Fucking damn it. Whatever they're going to launch, it better be fucking good.
Yeah, they would have spent the time and effort to make sure this thing was awesome and like was better than the competition or at least competitive. And you know, what I found is instead, it looks like it's a product that was rushed out the door. It looks like it has potential. It looks like if they fix a bunch of the bugs and add a couple of features, it might be the best thing out there. The other thing is it also has taken the strategy, the same strategy Motion X does, that it downloads maps on the fly, rather than downloading the whole thing. Well, it can be okay, but apparently they're not caching it. Like the Motion X one, like they download maps on the fly, but you know, they basically download and cache the whole region that's near you right away. So it's not like loading maps all the time. Okay. But the Garmin app seems to be, so it's actually, it actually feels slow and sluggish when it's updating on the screen, 'cause it's downloading maps all the freaking time. And so a lot of rough edges here. It's like, you know, I'm sure they can fix most of these things, but frankly, they shouldn't have launched it without these things fixed. Because this might have been okay if they were launching it 2 years ago, when these things were brand new on the iPhone and everybody was having growing pains and figuring out the right way to do this. But at this point, you know, their competition has this down pat, and this stuff works, you know, and like another thing, like it several times would accidentally find me on the next road over from where I was and do all kinds of weird routing because of that. Now, if this was the only iPhone nav app I'd ever used, I'd be like, oh, it's the GPS isn't accurate enough. But none of the others have this problem. You know?
So it's just the application sucks.
Yeah. So, and you know, fix the damn thing. But, oh, I couldn't, I was like, I can't believe I spent $40 on this shit. You know, I like, you know, I was like, oh, it's Garmin. It's going to be good. Nope. It was crap. Now, I'm going to get, every time they update it with a release, I'll give it another shot. But right now, I tried it like 3 or 4 times and I was like, I can't even use this, you know? And that was really disappointing to me. We'll see. And they better freaking release a whole bunch of updates really fast over the next couple months. Otherwise, they're just going to be dead because their competition is so far ahead of them right now. But
all right.
Anyway,
that's the Garmin app.
I ranted. I'm sorry. I apologize. One thing I'll mention for 10 seconds and then our last real topic, I guess, and then we'll wrap up. I finally took the jump. You know, if folks remember, I did a major upgrade to bring HD into the house last year. Got a HD projector, you know, a receiver that handled a whole bunch of inputs and stuff. Did have the Blu-ray player, have a little box that streams stuff from my computer, all kinds of stuff. But the one piece that we have.
Blu-ray.
The
I don't have a Blu-ray player, so.
I watched my first Blu-ray disc a couple weeks ago, actually, on the thing. Mostly we've watched DVDs on it. And it looked really good. It looked good. It's certainly better than
anything I've seen. Yeah, I know. They look great. I don't know.
Well, and, you know, that's one of the things, too, is like, you know, yeah, they look a lot better, but, you know, the convenience of the downloading and streaming is it is lower quality, but it's so much more convenient. So, you know,
right.
It's good enough quality. It doesn't have to be pristine all the time. But anyway, it was cool. And, you know, I use Netflix rather than actually buy these things. So, you know, whatever. Although the one we watched was a birthday present Amy got. Anyway, the one thing missing was actual television. We hadn't upgraded that to HD yet. Finally did. Switched over from DirecTV to cable, Comcast, actually. Not because of anything I actually care about between DirecTV and Comcast, but because I wanted actual real-life modern TiVos, not
not the DirecTV DVR or anybody else's DVR. So we and TiVo had a promotion going on. I think it's it was scheduled to end at the end of the year, but it's actually going on for a few more weeks. They extended it, where basically with a 2-year commitment to their plan, you could get the box for free. So picked up 3 TiVo boxes, TiVo Premieres, and got them all hooked up yesterday. So far, so good. They look awesome. They do the Netflix streaming. They can buy from Amazon, and of course all your regular television stuff and a bunch of other things. Looking good. Happy so far. And for the first time in several years, I have my own TiVo. I'm not sharing with Brandy. So, you know, I'm all about, oh, okay, I can actually, you know, organize it the way I want now. So, you know, fun stuff. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that.
Okay. All right. So.
And
you're up in the technology. Now, let me ask a question about the Comcastic thing. I mean, because I find Comcast really annoying. Okay. Yeah. Maybe it's because you never had any HD receivers from DirecTV. But I find annoying the channel guide because it, for some reason, even though I have HD on a Comcast, that I have Comcast in our clubhouse here at the condo, it'll show the SD channels and the HD channels, and it won't combine them, and it's a pain in my fucking ass.
Well,
I'm like,
you know, the first thing I did, I spent a bunch of time last night, looking through the channel guide and. Eliminating in cases where I had both the SD and the HD version of the channel and they were identical, eliminating the SD version so that, you know, when I set things up on the TiVo, it'll never record from that channel, you know. So I've got both the antenna and the cable set up for the broadcast channels, and for each of those I chose whether I wanted to have the broadcast or the cable version of the channel.
I
spent time doing that, and yes, that should be fully freaking automatic, and it's not.
Yeah, because DirecTV actually does that automatically. You know, you just go into the fucking guide and on these new receivers, and you hit a button and say, hide SD duplicates. Yes, done. You know, it takes 2 seconds. I'm like, I'm going, UVerse and freaking Comcast do not have that. Well, and incredibly annoying.
Yeah, I you know, it was annoying to have to do that, but I did it once, and I'm never going to have to look at it again.
Okay, all right. So I guess I should try to do. Oh God! But how long did it take you?
A couple hours.
Oh God. Okay.
Now, I was being very systematic about it. It would have taken me 10 minutes if I'd done it the easy way. But I actually looked at each pair to see whether or not they were in fact a real match, because some of the quote unquote SD duplicates for me were not. Where the HD version was the East Coast feed and the SD version was the West Coast feed, so I kept both.
Okay, so right, you would keep the other one, of course.
Because they were absolutely not actually the same. Because meant is if I missed something on the HD feed, I could still catch it on SD 3 hours later.
Right. No. I understand. So
I actually looked at each channel pair, which took a lot longer to determine whether it was actually identical or not. And even then, I put some as identical that really weren't, because what I realized on quite a few were, even if the programming was the same, the commercials were not.
Okay.
Well, but I chose to consider it a duplicate anyway.
HBO2 East on DirecTV is HD. However, HBO2 West is not HD.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, you want to have that as the West Coast feed, obviously. I mean, you know. But yeah, okay, all right. I hear you. Okay.
So anyway, you know, fun stuff. Anyway, so
migration done. Okay.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we'll do Congress, and then we'll be right back, and we'll try to do it relatively quick because we are going long. We'll be right back. Trouble the Balkan Nazi.
Thank you for using your conference account information.
Okay, here we are. Congress. We had a new Congress start up this week, and there were a couple interesting things that they did. There's some other interesting things that they won't that they were going to do that have put off. Anyway, one of the things is they started off very early in the term after. Well, let's go chronologically, I guess. They swore everybody in, or at least they thought they did. Then they had some votes. Then it turned out that there were two Congress people who were not actually sworn in, but were voting anyway, because they were at a fundraiser, and when the swearing in happened, they turned on the TV and raised their hand and thought that would be good enough. But in fact, no.
Okay. Right.
And so, they had proceeded to vote anyway, even though they weren't members of Congress technically, because they hadn't been sworn in yet. So they've had to go and basically all of those votes were invalid, and they've had to go back and try to retroactively fix things. The Republicans asked the Democrats to just go along with just sort of declaring that it was all okay. And the Democrats were, no, you got to fix it right. But anyway, that was a little amusing. And, you know, a lot of people made fun of them just because, you know, they're coming in all about the Constitution. And what's the first thing they do? They have random people.
They try to swear in on TV.
And then have essentially people who aren't Congress people voting in Congress.
Right. And then try to just ignore it and just say, oh, no, it's okay. You know, yeah. You know, what's a little rule bit here or there?
Now, in the end, this is no more relevant than when Obama flubbed the oath and they went back and did it for real later. It's not a big deal.
No,
it's
just funny. I understand. But look, it is procedure. It is. You know, look, last week I had to host a meeting that had to be run by Robert's Rule, Rules of Parliamentary Procedure. Well, I remember I participated in Model UN, and I also was in student government. So, yes, I mean, I know, you know, I know them, you know, I know them more than the average person. OK. All right. I'm not going to give myself to be a complete expert at this time because, you know, I mean, you know, given that, you know, I reviewed it a little bit before I ran the meeting, you know, but. You know, there are reasons why these fucking rules exist, you know? It's like establishing a quorum, for example, okay? First thing, you know, it happened that a month ago we tried to have the meeting and there weren't sufficient people for a quorum. And then I had to go and immediately when people showed up for the meeting and we didn't have quorum, I had to go and announce to everybody that the meeting is postponed because we have not established a quorum. And a whole bunch of people were pissed off. And I'm like, there isn't – look – it doesn't matter. It's, you know, that's the rules. There isn't quorum, you know, but there was. No, there wasn't, because this one person that showed up did not mark themselves as present, and they refused, okay? And there was just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, and the person, I'm like, okay, do you want to establish yourself present for the vote? No. I'm like, okay, then we're done. Can't do it. You know, I don't know. You know, these rules are there in order to make sure that we have a process that later on, when people go and, you know, so there aren't questions about the validity of these processes. Just so everybody doesn't go every time and just do whatever the hell they want, you know? I mean, they are very important. And it's just that it gets on my nerves where people are like, oh, no, we'll just skip that piece. Oh, no, we'll forget about that. Oh, no, that's not important. No. Okay, so anyway,
continuing on, one of the things they did sort of as a stunt thing was starting the term by reading the Constitution. Now, there are a couple interesting things about that. I mean, for the most part, you know, it's a meaningless little symbolic thing, whatever. People were wondering.
Well, I think it's just an enormous waste of time. I'm thinking, you know what? First of all, you should go and be able to sit down and read the fucking Constitution on your own. Okay, you know? I mean, heaven forbid, you know, you're in Congress, you can take the time. I just think, honestly, that, you know, with the kind of money that it costs to run Congress, to be doing a live fucking show where just some bunch of people are just standing up there just reading the fucking Constitution,
you know,
is a big waste of taxpayers' money.
If you're going to go there, though, the whole standing up and talking and doing anything is a huge waste of time, because it's not like congressional debate is actually debate. It's just a whole bunch of people standing there.
Correct.
And half the time, there's nobody in the damn place other than
C-SPAN.
There's
nobody in the damn place.
You know,
right. That's right.
I mean, really?
No. I will admit that most of them, they do have C-SPAN on in every freaking office in Congress, and they do watch what the heck other people are saying and whatever. So it's not totally exactly, you know, that. But
if you really wanted to streamline it, you would just you'd eliminate that whole part of things. You would let any congressman whatsoever submit a bill, have a requirement that it gets voted on within a certain amount of time, get rid of debate entirely. Anyone submits anything whenever they want, and you get a certain amount of time, and then the vote comes up, and everybody has to vote on everything, and boom. Anyway, but that's not real life of politics. Anyway, they read the Constitution, but a couple interesting things there. One, before they did it, there was some speculation in terms of whether they were going to read the full original Constitution or whether they would eliminate and not read the parts that had been overridden by later amendments. You know, and this is interesting because this includes things like, you know, certain people being worth 4/3 of a person for purposes of enumeration and census and stuff. It included various things about, you know, not making a law about slavery until a certain number of years had passed. Things like this that would be sort of embarrassing to read. They did indeed in the end decide to only read the parts of the Constitution that had not been overridden by amendments later. Interesting choice. Let them avoid most of the embarrassing parts of the original Constitution that have been replaced by amendments for good reason. But they did get to the part about natural born citizen, at which point someone from the gallery started yelling incoherently about Obama. You know, something like, "Except Obama, God help us all," or "Save Jesus," or something. I don't know. You know, that was kind of interesting. But you know, it's just a random stunt. The other part that's stunt-ish is that they're going to be requiring new bills that are introduced in the House to state what part of the Constitution gives the government authority to do that bill. But apparently there's some choices about which parts of the Constitution are okay, because of course there's like, you know, parts of the Constitution that says essentially, "and do whatever else is necessary to establish the welfare of the country," or whatever. And so that you could just point everything at that.
Right. And then you're done. You're out.
You know, but it's again, a stuntish thing. I actually, this is a stunt I'm not entirely unopposed to. If anybody was actually treating it seriously in terms of, like, you know, enumerated powers, and the federal government can only do what has been enumerated explicitly, and sort of take things like the 10th Amendment seriously, that, you know, but you know, the reality is neither party has been there for many, many decades, probably over a century, maybe even longer, you know. And there have been, you know, so many court rulings that have basically neutered, you know, the notion of a very highly restricted federal government that can only do a few things. And so it's kind of just a waste of time, you know, again. Now, if it wasn't a waste of time, if the Republican Congress was very serious about saying, "Okay, government, we're not going to have government do anything other than this extremely tightly restricted set of things," then okay, I'd at least take them seriously. But the bottom line is they don't believe that. They've never really believed that. They're not sort of, you know, strict libertarian-ish constitutional constructionalists. It depends. It's all about the Constitution lets them do the things they want, but doesn't let the opponents do the things they want, according to their viewpoint. It's not sort of a principled start to bottom, ideologically consistent view of what should be allowed, which makes me, you know, it's just all a bunch of bullshit. It would be different if it was.
Yeah, I mean,
if it was, you know, really the one thing is over the last, but it's not.
Let's face it, over the last 2 years, this whole thing about the constitutionality is of things that had to do more with the fact that they didn't like what was being passed in Congress, not necessarily anything about the Constitution. Because, you know, you go about the healthcare debate, think about the prescription drug benefit, Medicare, for example. I mean, I'm sorry, that was the Republicans that passed that. And that is like a national health plan. And I'm like,
you know, why are they, you know, going on to repeal that? You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I've lamented this before, but there are no process hawks anymore. The people who, independently of what they specifically believe on any individual issues, are really out there fighting for the integrity of the process and that the right methods are used to accomplish things and that you're living within the exact structures that are defined. There's nobody out there anymore. On both sides, on all sides, everybody's just all about, okay, I want to get X done. So given political realities, how can I get X done? And and if it involves doing something weird procedurally that, you know, isn't entirely kosher, so be it. If it involves saying that the other guy is doing something unconstitutional, well, 10 minutes later, you flip around and do the same thing yourself, then so be it. Like, you know, as an example, there was a procedure that the Democrats were talking about using for healthcare. The deem and pass, I think it's called. It's really esoteric, but basically it was to get around the fact that the Senate had voted first and they wanted to... Anyway, it was esoteric, weird thing about instead of just directly voting on a bill, they wanted to vote on something that said that they should consider the bill as passed. And the Republicans got up in arms around that, saying, oh, my God, that's awful. That's subverting the procedure. That's, you know, you should never do that. That's blah, 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 blah. In the end, the Democrats backed down and didn't use that procedure, I gather, if I remember correctly. Maybe I remember wrong. But, of course, their first week in office, the Republicans do the same damn thing. And they're like, Well, but this is different.
Yes.
The only fucking thing different is that it's now you doing it.
That's right.
And that sort of thing just drives me crazy. I wish somebody, anybody, was actually principled about the procedural stuff and actually gave a damn about the procedure for procedure's sake instead of just using it conveniently for their own goods, you know, and what, you know, and changing their viewpoint. It's just like, you know, all the talk about the filibuster, and by the way, there was some talk about doing some filibuster reform, and there's been a proposal, but it's very, very mild. It doesn't look like it's actually going to do anything really substantive, but... It's just like the filibuster. The majority party is always talking about the majority party. The majority party is always talking about how the minority party abuses the filibuster. And yes, this last time around, the Republicans did it an order of magnitude higher than anybody else before. But you just know when it flips around and the other people are in the other positions, everybody's position is going to reverse 180 degrees. And the people who are railing against the misuse of the filibuster will be using it whenever is convenient to them. And it drives me nuts. Anyway, bunch of damn hypocrites.
Okay. All right. So given that, you know, we know that you're unhappy about the lack of process following, about the fact that most of these guys don't really give a crap about the stuff they're talking about, the fact that they, you know, they'll go and they'll while they're in the opposition, they'll complain about it, but then go right up and like get there and then just do the exact shit that they said that they were opposed to anyway in the first place. Anything else we missed on that on that rant?
They were going to do a symbolic vote to try to repeal health care in the House, which is also symbolic and pointless because it'll never get through the Senate. And even if it did, Obama would veto it.
So therefore, it's just totally pointless.
You know, I actually heard somebody saying that this is actually the fact that the House leadership is putting this on the agenda for the first few weeks. They've delayed it because of the shooting in Arizona. It was going to be in the next couple of days. But the fact that they put it on early in the agenda rather than waiting a bit is actually indication that Bonnier is actually wanting to do real business, because he's saying, like, I'm going to do this symbolic thing because the Tea Partiers want me to, and because I need to, because it's part of what we promised to do. But let's just get it the freak out of the way. We're going to do it. We're going to vote on it, and we'll get it out of the way, and we'll never have to think about this again because we will have done it, and we can get on to doing real work. Okay. Whereas if he had delayed, he could have made this a big deal. Like, they skipped all the committee, and this is another thing where procedurally they were like, you know, everything should get a say, should go through committee, should be able to be amended.
They skipped all the committee reviews? They just took it straight to the floor?
Yeah. But anyway, if you wanted to make a big grandstanding political event over repealing health care, you would drag it out. You would have the committee.
No, I agree.
You would have the amendments.
I agree.
You would have an extended floor debate. Instead, what they're doing is saying, okay, we're going to have this vote and then get it over with, which may actually be a signal that he actually wants
raising the white flag on this thing. Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, I don't think I have anything else. You have anything else?
Nope. I think you covered it all.
Okay.
I think we're done.
And on this particularly ranty show, we'll close it up. Thank you for joining us. As usual, email me, abelsmay@abelsmay.com, with any questions, comments, thoughts. That's it. Tell your friends. See you next week.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye-bye.